China is building and opening new universities at the rate of not one per year, not one per month, but one university every single week. In South Korea, there are already an extraordinary 500 universities and institutions of higher learning. You might think that's bad news for Australia, given that educating foreign students is Australia's third biggest export earner, beaten only by coal and iron ore. Yet so insatiable is the Chinese and South Korean demand for education that Australia's international student numbers are forecast to increase by 30% by 2020. Simon Birmingham is the Assistant Minister for Education and Training. He was in China earlier this week. He's currently in South Korea. Minister, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran, and good morning to your listeners.
Simon Birmingham, in China, 30 million people are undertaking vocational education and training. That's going to increase to a staggering 40 million students in 5 years. What does this mean for Australia? What's the opportunity?
The opportunities for Australia are enormous to build on what is already an incredibly strong partnership we have with both China and South Korea and many other nations in the provision of international education, which, as you rightly said, is our third largest export earner. It generates around $17 billion, and as a government, we're very serious about getting the visa settings right and the relationship right with these nations to continue to grow that market, which we have successfully grown over the last couple of years after a dip due to some visa reforms of the previous government, and we're now well and truly back on track, developing an international education strategy that is being led across the whole of government, bringing in immigration, industry, foreign affairs and trade and education to work collaboratively. And we have in Australia at present around 150,000 Chinese students and many thousands of Korean students as well. And it's a real testament to the fact that we are recognised as a quality education provider, not just in universities, but in vocational education and training, in English language provision and in school education.
And that's an issue that we might get to, the quality of education. But given what I said at the beginning, which is the rate that universities are being built in China and in South Korea, won't there inevitably come a point where there are so many universities or TAFE colleges in Asia that supply and demand will mean Australia will struggle to compete, to attract them? They won't need to come here.
I think there's 2 points to that, Fran. The first is that we're still seeing a very strong growing market for education, be it university education or skills-based vocational training in both countries. And, of course, with that growth comes more opportunity. So the number of vocational education and training students in China might currently be around 30 million, but it's estimated to grow to about 38 million just by 2020. So you need only maintain your current market share to still see, of course, significant growth from that. But there's also increasing opportunity for Australian institutions to partner with educational institutions in Korea and in China. And that's been a real focus of my trip, discussing how institutions like the Box Hill Institute of TAFE in Victoria partners with the Shanghai Pharmaceutical School for the delivery of training in China. So there's a mix of service provision that's available there, not just delivering educational opportunities to students in Australia, but also delivering those opportunities to students within the destination country as well.
Some of our universities are doing that, aren't they? Actually setting up campuses in these countries? Are they not necessarily even a partner deal, are they? Is that right?
You are absolutely seeing that. There are various mixes at play here. Some of the institutions are absolutely providing for delivery within those countries, as well as, of course, partnering up with different institutions. So it is a real mixed model, and it is our opportunity to capitalise on that in all of its different ways and formats. And I've been very heartened by the enthusiasm within China and within Korea for us to be able to actually keep growing those markets.
And is it a two-way learning thing? I mean, Australia talked there about Box Hill TAFE partnering up with, I think you said, the Shanghai Pharmaceutical School. I mean, Australia is a leader in pharma manufacturing, so I guess there's an expertise exchange there. But what about the other way? I mean, China, for instance, is a manufacturing giant, and in high tech too. The Huawei mobile phone company is a world leader, technology leader. Is exchange happening back the other way?
There is absolutely investment going in both directions, Fran. And Huawei, who you mentioned, are investing $30 million in a training and development facility in Sydney that will provide opportunities to thousands of people in Australia to upskill in the latest of technology and development. So we need to appreciate it goes in both directions. And as a government, we are quite committed to that in establishing the new Colombo plan that's providing more opportunities for Australian students to visit in Korea, in China, and throughout our region. And just last night, I was delighted to meet with some students from my home state of Adelaide who happened to be in Korea at the same time and are living proof of the benefits of the relationship building that comes from this. Because, yes, international education is big business, generating $17 billion and supporting around 130,000 jobs in Australia. But it is also perhaps the most effective way to strengthen our ties and our relationships with countries within our region that have lasting benefits economically, at government to government, at national security level, across all aspects of our relationship with these critical neighbours.
We're speaking with the Assistant Minister for Education Training, Simon Birmingham. Minister, what you say is absolutely right. Of course, we need these deep links. They are the key to our economic future and our diplomatic future as well. Key to that is language. For years on this program, we've been looking at the rate of Asian language uptake or teaching in our schools, and it's not getting any better, it seems to me. That's an automatic limiter right there. Do we have breakdown in policy cohesion that we can't in fact get our Australian students learning another language, let alone an Asian language?
Well, I think Christopher Pyne has certainly identified languages as a failing and a problem for
Australia. We've all identified it, we're just not teaching it.
And indeed, and it is part of our overall action plan in relation to schools. We currently have a trial in place at the preschool level to better deliver languages at that absolute first stage of early learning. It is identified as a priority within changes to teacher quality and the reforms we're applying in relation to the training of teachers to try to get more people with better language skills in the classroom. It, of course, is also an opportunity from the greater two-way exchange of individuals, and we're certainly seeing that capacity of people being trained to Australian standards in countries like Korea, which will provide an opportunity then for an exchange of teachers or trainers between our countries, which okay. is a great potential benefit. Just today I'll be visiting an institute where the Sydney TAFE is delivering Australian training qualifications here in Korea, which will of course mean that those people are trained to Australian standard for the delivery of our vocational education and training qualifications, and therefore could work in Australia with those qualifications.
All right.
Also, of course, able to enhance our language skills at the same time.
Minister, we need to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us.
A pleasure, Fran.
Simon Birmingham, the Assistant Minister for Education and Training, joining us today from South Korea. I still think language has got to be key.